Well, please take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 28 through 11, or you can read the portion printed out on your sermon outline, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And please give your full attention to this reading, as it is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of our God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Thus far God's word. And now please turn to Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. And once again, this is God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, may God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. And now let's turn to our Heidelberg Catechism reading from Lord's Day 38. You can find it on your sermon outline or on page 890 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Bellingham URC is a Reformed church, and we do not put this catechism on the same level as Scripture, but we do believe that it is a faithful summary of the whole counsel of God which he has given to us in the 66 books of the Bible. So now I will read the question and let us confess the answer together. Question 103. Congregation, what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Amen. A beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue our journey through the Ten Commandments, it is important for us to understand that there is a reason for each and every one of them. The reason we must have no other God before the Lord is because no other God exists. The reason we must not make for ourselves an image is because no man-made image can accurately reflect the glory of the one true God. The reason we must not misuse the name of the Lord our God is because his name is holy and pure and beautiful and good. But what is the reasoning behind the fourth commandment? Why are we commanded to remember a certain day and to keep that day holy, set apart to the worship of the Lord? Well, the answer is because the Lord is worthy of being worshiped, and therefore we must set aside time to devote to his worship. Now, of course, our aim should be to live not only one day per week, but every day for the glory of God. Nevertheless, the Lord, knowing our weakness, knowing our forgetfulness, determined that one day in every seven must be set aside for us to rest from our ordinary labors in order to focus entirely upon Him. You see, friends, this day is special. It is a holy day. The Sabbath is actually the only holiday that Scripture explicitly commands us to keep and to celebrate. Many of the Puritans, you may know, actually argued that Christians should not be keeping any other holiday than the Sabbath. They rejected Christmas and Easter as man-made inventions. And of course, we don't quite go quite that far. We don't have a problem with calling Christians together to worship the Lord on other days, such as Christmas and Good Friday. Nevertheless, the point stands. The Sabbath has been commanded. Christmas has not. And why bring that up? Well, perhaps you would never think of missing the church service on Christmas Day because you believe it is especially important for us to celebrate Christ on Christmas. However, gathering on the Lord's Day is far more important even than celebrating Christmas, because God did not command us to celebrate Christmas. He did command us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. But we should also notice that the Lord has not asked for merely 1 hour on Sunday morning. The Lord asks for the day, the whole day. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And how does God expect us to use this day? What does God require on the Sabbath day? Well, first, God requires rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The fourth commandment forbids us from using Sunday to accomplish our ordinary work. You are commanded to cease, to rest from your ordinary labors. Now, of course, the fourth commandment does not forbid all work on the Sabbath. There are a few exceptions. Preachers have to preach. Cows must be milked. Fires have to be extinguished. Patients in the hospital must be cared for. And sometimes there are legitimate emergencies that have to be dealt with. Nevertheless, as much as possible on the Lord's Day, we must refrain from our ordinary work in order to focus upon the Lord our God. However, doing this is far easier said than done. To properly keep the Sabbath demands certain attitudes from us, including faith, preparation, and even the willingness to make sacrifices. And so let's take a little time now to consider each of these things. First, Sabbath keeping demands faith. When you as a Christian commit to keeping the fourth commandment, what does this mean? Well, it means you are giving up an entire day when you could be doing something economically productive. You could have kept the shop open and gotten a lot of business. Or you've probably noticed that sometimes Sunday has the perfect weather for planting or harvesting crops or for mowing the lawn. It demands faith for you to say, no, I trust in the Lord. I trust that the work that needs to get done will get done on the other 6 days. Yes, friend, when the Lord tells you to keep the fourth commandment, He is calling you to trust Him, to believe that He will provide for you even when you take a whole day off from your labors. Perhaps that's a struggle for you. It's often been a struggle for God's people to trust in the Lord. Nehemiah 13 describes a time when the people of Judah were treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And Nehemiah writes, I warned them. On the day when they sold food, I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? From where did this sin come? Well, it came from hearts of unbelief. The Jews were more concerned about their economy than they were concerned about obeying the Lord. Moreover, they did not believe that the Lord would care for them and provide for them if they chose to take a day of rest from their labors and fully devote that day to the Lord and his worship. Their sin sprang forth from unbelief. What about you, dear friends? Is unbelief preventing you from keeping the Sabbath day holy? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you believe that he will provide the time you need in the rest of the week to get everything done? Does your faith move you to devote the Sabbath day completely to him? But keeping the Sabbath does not only demand faith, it also demands preparation. Exodus 20, verse 9 says, 6 days you shall, what? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. You must spend those 6 days working and complete your work in those 6 days so that the seventh day will be free to devote entirely to the Lord. And boys and girls, this is why your parents make sure you work extra hard on Saturday to get your homework done, so that you will not have any homework left to do on the Lord's Day. That's not just a silly rule. It's what God expects from us in the fourth commandment, so that we will be prepared to keep the Sabbath day entirely focused upon God. This is also why you need to make sure you get to bed on time Saturday night, so you'll be well rested and energetic, so that you'll be ready to spend the day vigorously and joyfully worshiping the Lord. Have we rightly remembered the Sabbath day to keep it holy? If we wake up Sunday morning tired and grumpy because we stayed up too late last night, if we're falling asleep during the worship service, are we remembering the Sabbath day? No. We must prepare for this day. And as we grow in our sanctification, we can also learn to make other preparations that enhance our Sabbath keeping. For example, if you prepare a meal ahead of time, throw it in the crock pot, or if you have a freezer meal ready to go, then your Sunday will be a lot more restful, and you'll have more time to devote to the Lord and to fellowship with his people. And so take some time to think about this. What are some ways that you can grow in better preparing for the Sabbath? Not to be legalistic, but to make your Sabbath more restful, more enjoyable, and more fully devoted to the Lord and to his people. How can we grow in rightly preparing for the Sabbath day? But third, Sabbath keeping also sometimes demands sacrifice. Many of you know that it can be very difficult to keep the Sabbath day here in America. Our nation in many ways is very ungodly, and one of our national sins is that Americans, by and large, care very, very little about the Lord's Day. This attitude has even rubbed off on many, many American churches and Christians, since peer pressure is so powerful. It's so easy to just go with the flow, to accept unbiblical and ungodly behavior as normal, since everyone else is doing it. And with so many people having abandoned the fourth commandment, our nation's culture has changed. Today, many workers are expected to work on Sunday. If you demand Sundays off, then you might have a very, very difficult time finding a job. Some of you have experienced this personally. I think especially our young people who have tried to get a job in the retail and service industries. Generally, the expectation is that you will work on Sundays. And what does this mean for us? Well, it means we must be very careful. Young people, I urge you to be very thoughtful about your career path, whether that career will force you to work on Sundays. You need to think and pray about it, even if the Sabbath work that career requires is necessary work. It is an honorable thing to serve as a doctor, a nurse, a police officer, a firefighter, or in the armed forces, even though you must miss worship on some Sabbath days. But if you choose one of those careers, you need to count the cost. It can be very difficult and spiritually dangerous when a Christian is often unable to attend the means of grace. A career where you have to work on Sundays demands self-discipline, Because you can't just skip every other week of worship. In order to stay spiritually healthy, you will need to make up as much of the worship as is possible. And thankfully, technology makes that a bit easier these days, since most churches provide recordings of sermons. If you miss a worship service, whether because of necessary work or because you are sick or for any other reason, then listen to the sermons you missed. Now, don't just pull up a sermon by John Piper or Alistair Begg, and definitely not Joel Osteen. Instead, listen to the sermon preached at the church where you are a member. That is the spiritual food that Christ prepared specifically for you as a member of that particular body of believers. And in this way, you can honor the Sabbath day as much as possible, even when you cannot be physically present on the Sabbath day, because you are still hearing the same word of God that your brothers and sisters in your church heard. But what if you find yourself working a job where you are being forced to do unnecessary work on the Lord's day, when you are being prevented from attending worship? I realize this is a lot to ask. I realize it's a big deal. It is very difficult. But in that situation, what you need to do is to start praying and looking for another job. That may be a big sacrifice. It may mean that you need to trust the Lord to provide for your family, even as you take a large pay cut. It may mean that you need to put a lot of time and effort into learning a new skill, a new career. But it needs to happen, because you cannot simply ignore the fourth commandment and be a healthy Christian. You cannot think that you will be spiritually healthy if you neglect the Sabbath day. Next week, we're beginning a new sermon series in the book of Exodus, a book that sets before us the good news of how God frees his people from tyranny. In Exodus, God delivered Israel from the tyranny of Pharaoh, who had made God's people do what? Work all week long as slaves. The Israelites had no Sabbath rest. They were not able to gather and to worship the Lord their God. God delivered Israel from that situation, and he can deliver you as well. Also, remember what God did for his people when they were in the wilderness. He provided manna for them. In fact, on the day before the Sabbath, God told them to collect twice as much manna, a double portion of manna, so they would be prepared for the Sabbath. And they did. And they had no lack. The Lord did not let them go hungry. He provided for their needs on the Sabbath. And he will provide for your needs too, when you make it your commitment to keep the Sabbath day holy. But you must live by faith. You must trust in God to provide. Listen to this beautiful promise he gives us in Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, which we already read earlier. The Lord says, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Look, friends, God will provide for all who believe. He will provide physically and spiritually for all who trust in him, for those who love and delight in his gift of the Sabbath day. He commands us to rest from our ordinary labors on this day. He commands us to devote the day to worshiping him, and he will provide what we need in order to do so. But it's important for us to understand that God does not only require that we rest from our ordinary labors on the Sabbath day. God also requires that we devote the day to his worship. After all, what does the Sabbath commandment say? Remember the Sabbath day to what? To keep it holy. And Exodus 20, verse 10 tells us to whom we should keep it holy. It is a Sabbath to whom? To the Lord, your God. And therefore, as Pastor Van Bruggen writes, it is a religious duty to rest on the Sabbath, but rest is not the highest goal. Rather, rest is the means to keep this day holy. That is the means to devote the day especially to the Lord. And therefore, everything on the day of rest must accommodate the worship services. That is the purpose of the day. All avoidable work in the home and in one's business must be left undone. We may seek recreation and relaxation on the day of rest, but those may not interfere with the character of the day of worship. Now, no doubt you've noticed how the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes this. The Sabbath is not a day to be filled with drudgery and boredom, with a legalistic form of rest. It is not a day for parents to tell their children, no, you can't go out and play with your friends. You must rest the whole day. Nonsense. Rather, this is a day to delight in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our rest on the Sabbath is not just about physical rest, though there's nothing wrong with an afternoon nap. But it is primarily about the spiritual rest that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Catechism emphasizes the importance of gospel ministry, which refreshes us in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Sabbath duties and delights are that we, on the festive day of rest, diligently attend the assembly of God's people, to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Friends, we rest from our regular work to devote ourselves to the joy of worshiping and fellowshipping together. The Sabbath is to be a festive day of rest. It is a feast day. And that's one reason we should all be deeply, deeply longing to resume our Lord's Day fellowship meals as soon as possible. The Sabbath is the weekly family reunion of the household of God as we come together to worship our glorious Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us from all our sin and misery. We cry out to the Lord saying, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." This should be a day filled with joy and togetherness. It is the day of the church. It is the gathering, the assembling of the saints. As you know, that word church means assembly. This is what defines us. We faithfully gather together. In fact, as Andrew Kayenhoven points out, the church cannot exist without assembly. Sometimes the church's enemies understand this better than its members do. Anti-Christian governments have never bothered much with Christians' private religious devotions, but they prohibited assemblies. Every Bible book mentions or implies the value of the assembly. Hebrews emphasizes faithful attendance at assemblies as well as daily exhortation of one another with a concern about the danger of backsliding as well as the certainty of the approaching day. And our Lord Jesus modeled this attitude for us, the importance of the assembly. Luke 4:16 says, "Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." It was Jesus' custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to hear God's word. And that must be our custom as well. Our habit must be our commitment to faithfully gather whenever we are called to worship. As the scripture says, let us commit to stirring up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so on the Sabbath, the Lord requires that we rest from our ordinary labors in order to worship him. And it is also so important for us to see what a privilege it is. Not everyone enjoys this privilege. There are many Christians around the world who must meet in secret because they would be imprisoned. Some would even be killed if the government learned of their assemblies. For Israel, in the time of the Exodus, the Sabbath was especially a privilege. While Israel was enslaved to Pharaoh, Pharaoh certainly did not give them a day off to spend worshiping their God. They were forced to work every day. He would not allow Israel to keep the Sabbath day holy. He would not allow them to rest from their labors in order to worship their God. Pharaoh was a tyrant. But God heard the groaning of his people Israel. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and his Jacob. God saw his people, and he knew their suffering. And so God raised up a deliverer. He sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, and through them God said, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh didn't listen. And so God poured out his wrath on Egypt in the plagues, and he delivered his people from bondage to the Egyptians. And in light of this, what did Sabbath mean to the Israelites? Well, it meant redemption. It meant liberation. It meant freedom. It meant that God's people finally had the privilege of taking a day off from their work to rest from their worldly labor, in order to devote that day wholly to the worship of the God who had delivered them. In fact, in Deuteronomy 5, the reason given for the fourth commandment emphasizes this. Instead of referring to God's rest at creation as it does in Exodus 20, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And friends, there is an obvious parallel for us. The Lord has delivered us from bondage and slavery to sin and to Satan. The Lord has delivered us from the slavery of living every day, every hour, for the purpose of acquiring more money, more stuff. The Lord has delivered us from the slavery of trying to work in order to earn our own salvation. He has freed us to rest in his salvation, in Christ. Yes, brothers and sisters, God did not only send a deliverer to Israel in Egypt, God has sent a deliverer to us as well. As the scripture says in 1 John 4:14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And yes, dear friend, Jesus says to you now, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, every Sabbath day, the Lord invites us here so that we might learn more and more to rest in him and his salvation, to grow in our faith and our trust of him, that he has delivered us and he will deliver us, to remember who the Lord is, what he has done for us. The Sabbath is a great privilege. It reminds us we don't need to save ourselves. We simply get to trust that Christ saves us. We get to receive the means of grace. We get to hear God himself speaking to us through his word. We get to participate in the sacraments. We get to hear, to see, to smell, to touch, and taste the goodness of God as he signifies and seals the blessings of the gospel to us in water, in bread, and in wine. We get to pray to the Lord publicly. We get to call upon the name of the Almighty God who is able to do far more than all that we ask or think. We get to bring Christian offerings to the poor. We get to help one another out and be helped as we have need. We get to sing to our God in psalms and hymns of thankfulness and praise and adoration, but also psalms that honestly express the whole breadth of human emotion. We get to be honest with our God that life in this world is a struggle. It is a pilgrimage. We get to be encouraged by him that we are not alone. For behold, Christ is with us always, even to the end of the age. We get to be reminded of this. We get to participate in all these things, word and sacrament. And then we get to come back in the evening and do it all over again. What a blessing it is to be in relationship to this glorious God, to be in relationship to one another as the body of Christ. What a privilege it is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. This day reorients us. This day reminds us of what is truly important above everything else in our lives. It reminds us that we have a God who loves us, a God who is great, a God who is Lord, and a God who has won the victory. It reminds us that all our earthly work is not an end in itself. It reminds us that life is not just about making a living, making lots of money. Life is not just about earthly recreations and pleasures. It's not even about only about earthly friends or family. The Sabbath reminds us that everything is ultimately for the glory of God. And the only true enjoyment that we will ever have is found in him and through him. And the Sabbath that we enjoy now points us ahead to a far greater Sabbath as well. This Sabbath today is a foretaste of the glorious heavenly rest that we will get to enjoy forever and ever. And so let me ask you this. Do you love the Lord's day? Do you truly believe that the Lord is worthy of a whole day? Do you understand the privilege that the Lord has given us to celebrate him for a whole day? And the more we grow to love the Lord, the more we will love his day. But actually, it works both ways, because the more we devote ourselves to his day, to learn about what his word teaches, to learn about who this great God is, the more we will love him. And so may God be gracious to us. May he help us to see this day as the wonderful privilege it is. May the Lord convince us that he is worthy. And may he fill us with his Holy Spirit so that more and more we might love spending time with the Lord and spending time with his people. Friends, may we believe the Lord when he says this to us: come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, finally, as we come to a close, we must understand that the fourth commandment is not only for Sunday, it's for every day of our lives. Our Sabbath observance will penetrate into our everyday observance. And that's why our catechism ends its explanation of this commandment by saying that it is also God's will that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. I let the Lord work in me through his Spirit and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Congregation, all our life belongs to the Lord. Herman Veldkamp summarizes this by writing, "The matter is simply this, that all our life must be a worship service. And now in his goodness, God has lifted one day out of the flow of days in order to qualify us for that great and most noble task. Sunday, the Lord's day, the Sabbath, prepares us for the rest of the week. We must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because if we do not, then we will not remember to keep the rest of the week holy. 1 John 5:4 says, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." The Sabbath provides food for your faith. The Sabbath sets before you the truth of God's word, which is our only hope of winning the victory in a world where we are constantly bombarded by lie after lie after lie. Believers, on the Sabbath, we remember the truth that we have been justified, that we are being sanctified, that we will be glorified. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And therefore, even now, we can rest in Christ's salvation. And all of our work that we do in this life, we work out of our rest. We know that the world does not rest upon our shoulders. We know that the whole world is in His hands, and the victory is already won. And as we enter into this rest, friends, and as we live out of this rest, the world is going to notice. We're not frantically trying to control every little detail of our lives. We're resting in the Lord. We're trusting in Him. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. When the world sees how restful you are, how hopeful you are amid the chaos, when they see that you are resting in Christ, they will wonder, what in the world is happening here? How can you be so confident? How can you be so hopeful? How can you not be just agitated when everything is falling apart? Well, it's because we find our rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just on Sundays, but every day. And so, friends, let us remember, as the Sabbath teaches us, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank You for this day You have given us to cease from our regular labors and to focus entirely upon You. Lord, make our Sabbaths to be a blessing. Give us faith that we might be committed to remembering every Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Lord, we know that we all fall short in our Sabbath keeping, and we thank You that our Lord kept the fourth commandment perfectly in our place. We trust in His righteousness to cover our sin. But Lord, we also ask You to renew our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, that we might desire to keep Your commandments, and that we might strive with all our hearts to do so. Please sanctify us by Your Holy Spirit, that we might rightly see the Sabbath day as the blessing it is and not as a burden. Help us to delight in the freedom that we have to gather and worship You, and keep us committed to doing so, knowing that as we make use of Your means of grace, You will cause us to grow in grace. You will cause us to love You more and more. Lord, You are a glorious God. You are worthy of our worship one full day per week. In fact, You are worthy of our worship every single day of our lives. And so we ask You to fill each of us with more devotion to You, more devotion to honoring Your day, and use our witness powerfully that others may see the hope that we have in Christ and come to know You and Your salvation in Your Son and come to worship You together with us. We ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.